continue with our reading and discussion of Lord Chaitanya, teaching Sanatana Goswami about the sweetness of Lord Krishna. Remember last night, we ended by discussing Krishna's personality, which is compared by Lord Chaitanya to an ocean of ambrosia. Everyone knows what ambrosia is? It's nectar. Lord Chaitanya says, although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases, and I wish to drink that entire ocean, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. So we discussed at the end of last night's session how this verse is Lord Chaitanya talking about love of Krishna in separation. You have Krishna's face, Krishna's smile, Krishna's body. These three beautiful things cause the mind to go into convulsions. The mind wants to drink from that ocean of Krishna's beauty. But just as the ocean is of Krishna's beauty, the doctor to cure the convulsions caused by the ocean of Krishna's beauty, the doctor is Krishna. And the doctor does not allow even one drop of water from that ocean. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating the mood of the gopis in separation from Krishna. They wanted to drink the ocean of sweetness arising from the bodily features of Krishna, but Krishna did not allow them to come near. Why did Krishna not allow them to come near, apparently? To increase their desire. Krishna is the most expert lover. He knows how to do things so that love increases. So for his dearest devotees, Krishna apparently left them just to cause an increase in their love. Krishna explained that to his dearest devotees. He said, don't think that I was being cruel to you. Don't think that I abandoned you. No, I simply wanted to increase your love. Just like someone who's poor all their life and gets some valuable gem and then loses that gem, how much they'll think of it. Similarly, I wanted to cause you to think of me more. So apparently I left. And then Krishna explained something very astonishing to mundane senses. He told the gopis, don't think that when I left you, I was far away. Unbeknownst to you, I was watching you in your separation. I was witnessing your feelings of separation and relishing it very much. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most expert in carrying on loving affairs with his devotees. As a result of Krishna's behavior, the desire of his devotees to meet him increases. Apparently, they become unhappy by not being able to be with Krishna, but that unhappiness is transcendental ananda, bliss. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still. And the supremely sweet, gentle smile on that moon-like face is like the rays of moonshine. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. The smiling on Krishna's face, which is just like the smiling of the moon, generates greater and greater happiness for the gopis. One day, through your dedicated performance of devotional service through thick and thin, you'll see the deity smile upon you, and you'll never forget that. Nothing compares to that. Instantly, when you see the smile of the deities upon you, you'll realize all my so-called inconveniences and austerities and trials and tribulations I might have gone through in my Krishna conscious career, it's all worth it. Just to see Krishna smile upon you as the deity, you'll know it's true. In a split second, all your pains and misunderstandings and everything can go just by Krishna smiling upon you. The deities are here to show their mercy upon you if you serve them through thick and thin. They'll reciprocate with you. Don't ever think that Krishna doesn't know what you're going through. You see, sometimes for devotees who are meant especially to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, Krishna tests you. That test is not to make your life miserable. The test is to bring out the best in you. Krishna knows how to bring out the best loving tendencies. So when he sees that a devotee is serious, then Krishna arranges situations so that serious devotee always has to cry out for Krishna's mercy. That's the Lord's good fortune upon you if you're in that situation. Krishna's expert at defeating the pride of his devotees. He doesn't like his devotees to be proud, just like during the Rasa Lila, when the gopis became proud of how great we are. We are the most fortunate women in the three worlds. Krishna left them. Of course, their pride is not of material contamination. Nevertheless, Krishna was showing his opulence of renunciation. And then later he explained, actually I left you just to increase your feelings of separation, to make the loving affair even more intense. So Krishna knows what he's doing. He arranges for his devotees to be deprived of their pride. Sometimes we become proud in Krishna consciousness. I've done so many things for so many years. Doesn't everyone recognize my prowess? Haven't I made it yet into the Temple Hall of Fame? Don't you know my glories? Then Krishna arranges for you to see your real self. He does it very lovingly, like a sheep farmer with shears, takes off the wool of the sheep. Krishna off goes your pride. It's very nectarian to be humbled by Krishna. It's a very sweet beverage. I hope you all have the chance to taste that. Don't be angry at Krishna when he does it. Thank him for taking your pride away, putting you in a situation where you have to call out for Krishna even more. Krishna is doing that because he wants you to come back to Godhead in this lifetime. So he apparently takes everything away from you and then he gives you himself. But you have to hold on to see that. Sometimes devotees say, well, maybe, you know, not every devotee is perfect, and sometimes devotees do things that aren't right. That is true, it's always been so. This is a hospital where people are getting over the material disease. Now suppose something happens to you. You're caught in some situation. some injustice, some mistreatment, some severe disappointment, someone lets you down. It's not your fault. You have to wait for Krishna to give you your compensation. Do they call that here workers' compensation? Yes. Suppose you're working at a factory and you get hurt on the job. Then you have to file a claim and the government pays out, yes? Similarly, if you're working for Krishna, who is the best employer, if something happens which is not your fault, Krishna will pay out if you have to file your application. You have to be patient. You'll see. Krishna will more than compensate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never tests you more than you can handle. Any good teacher acts that way, and Krishna is the best teacher. He gives you all information to pass the test beforehand. Of course, we always say, oh, this is too much. Who can handle this? No one's had to go through a situation like this before. It's too much. But Krishna knows how much he can handle for your purification and your humiliation. He knows how to bring the greatest love and dependency out of you. So you have to look for your compensation. If there's been some mistreatment, misjudgment, misunderstanding of you, this is the material world. We're trying to be Krishna conscious in the material world. We're not utopians. Srila Prabhupada once explained, he said, my disciples, they're not perfect, but they're trying to be. Just to be in the category of trying to be perfect is a very rare thing, a special thing. Because devotees are trying to be perfect. Sometimes they make mistakes. So Krishna will compensate devotees who are disappointed or are distressed by some mistakes. Krishna will pay out, but you have to file your application. You have to be patient. And Krishna will compensate you more than you ever expected, without a doubt. This is how to be a genuine candidate for going back to Godhead. Then you'll fully be entitled to the mercy coming from Srila Prabhupada down through the succession. You'll see Krishna's smile upon you. Just one glance from Lord Sri Krishna, one glance from the deity, and all your sorrows fade in a second. And you know what you finally say? So what all I had to go through? Just to get the glance of Krishna, everything was worth it. The beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds. The Loka Vrindavan, the spiritual sky of the Vaikunthas, and Devi Dham, the material world. Thus, Krishna's shining beauty spreads in all 10 directions. His slight smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of his lips. You've ever tasted camphor? Sweet. You put camphor in the sweet rice sometimes? It makes everything very exotic. So you have the sweetness of Krishna's lips, and then that sweetness of the lips is flavored by camphor. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute. The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in the four directions. Even though Krishna vibrates his flute within this universe, its sound pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus, the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Goloka Vrindavan and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Brajabhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present. When they hear Krishna's flute in Vrindavan, the flute steals their minds and brings their minds to Krishna. So the gopis race out into the forest to reclaim their stolen property. With Krishna's flute, he steals their mind. He's known as Manohara, the thief of the mind. So his devotees, his dearest devotees, run out to find the flute player to beg, "Give us back the property you stole." This is the power of Krishna's flute. The vibration of Krishna's flute is very aggressive, and it breaks the vows of all chaste women. Indeed, its vibration takes them forcibly from the laps of their husbands. The vibration of this flute attracts even the goddesses of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets, to say nothing of the poor damsels of Vrindavan. Of course, to hear this properly, you need to understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. There's no question of Krishna being immoral, because everything is his energy. He is the proprietor, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, and he is everyone's best friend, Suradam Sarva Bhutanam. Therefore, what is wrong with his dearest devotees? Taking Krishna as everything, and Krishna is everyone's dearest friend. What is wrong with Krishna dancing with cowherd girls, trees, plants, whatever? Everything is his energy. It is with this vision that you have to understand these personal pastimes of Lord Krishna, which we don't speak about to the general public because they can't understand the difference between matter and spirit. The vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, not even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Lord Krishna's flute. Now you may say, "All right, all glories to Krishna's flute. What about us? How does that relate to us?" The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute. By your dedication to hear the holy name every day, soon you'll be able to hear Krishna's flute. Soon. What does soon mean? So what if it takes you all your life? Have you anything better to do? What's a few years of chanting Hare Krishna so that one day you recognize that you're hearing Krishna's flute? This is how serious it is to chant Hare Krishna. This is what you're dealing with. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. The vibration of Krishna's flute is always prominent in the ears of the gopis. Naturally, they cannot hear anything else. Constant remembrance of the holy sound of Krishna's flute keeps them enlightened and enlivened, and they do not allow any other sound to enter their ears. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. In other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sweetness. He has caused you to hear all these things from me for your understanding. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he was speaking like a madman, which he should not have done for the understanding of those who are externally situated. Statements about Krishna's body, his characteristics, and his flute would appear like a madman's statements to a mundane person. It was actually a fact that Krishna wanted to reveal himself to Sanatana Goswami due to his specific mercy upon him. Somehow or other, Krishna explained himself and his flute to Sanatana Goswami through the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as though mad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he wanted to tell Sanatana Goswami something else, but somehow or other, in transcendental ecstasy, he spoke of a different subject matter. Lord Chaitanya continues to speak. Since I have become a bad man, I am saying one thing instead of another. This is because I am being carried away by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Lord Krishna's transcendental sweetness. That is the effect of the Madhurya Amrita, The nectarian sweetness of Lord Krishna, it carries away the mind. All the senses achieve their ultimate destination in contact with Krishna. Krishna has fragrance for the nose. To see Krishna is a pleasure of the eyes. To hear Krishna's flute is a pleasure of the ears. All the senses achieve their perfection in contact with Krishna. And here Lord Chaitanya is saying, what am I doing speaking like this about Krishna's body, Krishna's flute, Krishna's characteristics? How did these things come out of my mouth? People will think I'm a madman. What's come over me? I wanted to talk about something else, but Krishna wanted me to reveal himself to you, Sanatana Goswami. So Krishna took over my tongue and spoke all these confidential things about himself through me. It wasn't my plan. Obviously, what happened? I've been carried away by the Madhuryamrita, the nectar of Krishna's sweetness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then remained silent for a moment, finally adjusting things within his mind. He again spoke to Sanatana Goswami. If anyone gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendentally blissful ocean of love of God. Yes, this is our ambition, to float in the blissful ocean of Krishna Prema, of Krishna. It is possible, even amidst this most degraded age, it is possible by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you want to look at all the faults in the age of Kali, you want to count all the things that are wrong, you'll never get to the end. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, maybe you should concentrate on the only one good thing in Kali Yuga. Asti Eko Mahan Gunaha. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can achieve the perfection of life. That's the only good thing. But we're so complicated, we can't even chant Hare Krishna. We're so great. We've got so many better things to talk about and worry about. Conditioned life means that our minds are full of everything except the Maha Mantra. And it's all so important. It's all so crucial. In spite of all the defects in this age, an age in which people treat each other horribly, individually, collectively, there are atrocities on every level. Still, the perfection of life can be yours by chanting. For example, here in New Zealand, we have a situation in which those under 30, their lives are becoming so deranged and so unregulated and so depraved that you wonder, what is the future of the country? Just for even material life to go on, you need some sanity, some discipline, some order and regulation. We're not talking about spiritual life, we're talking about material life. So when I hear what the average person under 30 these days has to go through, the torture in relationships, in families, dysfunctional relationships, you wonder, what is the future of this country? But amidst all that disqualification, if the people take to the chanting of Hare Krishna, then something else will happen. Lord Chaitanya is the only shelter for those who are materially exhausted. I can't find any way out of the situation. I'm at my rope's end. When you feel like that, that's the time to turn to Lord Chaitanya. He specializes in those folks. Akinchana Gotra, the materially exhausted, they approach Lord Chaitanya because he has that capacity, the property of the materially exhausted. So when you feel, sometimes you'll feel like that, even in devotional service, not just material life, in devotional service, you'll feel, I can't do any more for Krishna. Or I tried so hard to do something for Krishna, it didn't come out quite the way I wanted, or I was misunderstood, or I was mistreated. Yes, these things happen. Then, instead of becoming cynical, instead of becoming bitter, just turn to Lord Chaitanya. He specializes in these situations. Then you'll see the power of Krishna consciousness. But the mistake that is often made is when you're in a tight situation, when you've been let down, when you've been disappointed, when your pride's been trampled underneath the feet of thousands of persons. In those moments, we don't turn to Lord Chaitanya. We just grieve and get bitter and cynical, and our hearts become hard. That's not the solution. The solution is to turn to Lord Chaitanya, who will show us that even in those kind of situations, you can make spiritual advancement and become dear to Krishna. Therefore, we say with complete confidence, perform devotional service with great determination and full commitment. You can't fail. As a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, you cannot fail. That's why Krishna has Arjuna declare boldly in Bhagavad Gita, Konteya Prachitani Name Bhakta Pranasati. Arjuna, you tell everyone, my devotee will never be vanquished. Bhakti cannot be destroyed. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, offers you his benedictions. He says, if anyone gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendentally blissful ocean of love of God. And then the famous conclusion that's at the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, married Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. That is the job of a genuine devotee, to follow in the footsteps of his spiritual master. Then you feel the potency coming from the service succession. I hope this reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita will stimulate you all to take a deep interest in relishing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Srila Prabhupada was crossing the ocean from India to New York for the first time, he suffered repeated heart attacks in the Atlantic Ocean. He wrote in his diary that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was his only solace, and he was tasting its nectar. So that same Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita you have now. It's an extraordinary book. In the same purport, Srila Prabhupada will be talking about practical things about spreading Krishna consciousness. And then he'll switch to talking about confidential topics, Radharani, and love for Krishna, Krishna love for Radharani. Then he'll speak about controlling pride, controlling lust. Then he's into Vrindavan talking about what's going on with cowherd boys. Then he's back to preaching throughout the world. All the same purport. Can't find any books like this anywhere else. And these books keep you humble. You might start thinking, ah, yes, I'm reading such confidential things about the gopis, Krishna's flutes, Radharani, that's me, yes. Just see where I am. I'm on that level. And then you read a purport where Prabhupada, you know, a devotee must always be humble, thinking, everyone is better than him. Oops. That's the glory of Prabhupada's books. Who's going to be champions? Krishna, I'll do it. You're the only one of the lady champions here. Ah, she is so. Quickly, quickly. begging Srila Prasad's Kaviraj Goswami as presented by Srila Prabhupada for the mercy to seek our quest for beauty in Krishna. Let us pray for the mercy that we can surround our senses with Krishna conscious sense objects. In this way, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, our life will be successful. The more we can arrange our life so that our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and sense of touch are in contact with Krishna sense objects, the more fortunate our life becomes. Otherwise, there'll be no fulfillment for us in the material world. Your career will not fulfill you. Material relationships will not fulfill you. Certainly, sense gratification will not fulfill you. All Maya gives us is the false promise. That's it. The goods are never delivered. Never delivered. But the false promise is what looks so alluring. You can't beat it. You can't beat those false promises. You can only take shelter of Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna means in contact with Krishna's unlimited beauty. What a wonderful solution to the problem of Maya. So we want the sound vibration of Krishna's flute to be like a bird that builds a nest in our ears and blocks all other sounds. That sound of Krishna's flute comes to us as the holy name Hare Krishna. This is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Then when we hear the holy name of Krishna building a nest in our ears, then immediately we're inspired to serve Krishna with all our senses. Because Hare Krishna, Hare Rama means, my dear Lord, please let me engage in your transcendental loving service. For so long I've been serving Maya. Now let me take that same serving capacity and serve Lord Sri Krishna. If in our hearts we feel that desire, then Krishna will start to give us intelligence. And that heartfelt desire is enough to carry us through all the inconveniences and letdowns and problems of this world. So let us beg Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. As he's coming down through the simple succession, let us pray for his blessings, that we can pursue the madhuryamrita, the nectarian sweetness of Lord Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.